Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
Read online yesterday that like 200,000 people have already like sort of committed to go seeing the Oppenheimer movie and the Barbie movie on the same day.
How this began, like I said yesterday, Satan works hard, Barbie's marketing team works harder. Like, I feel like we've been hearing about this movie for approximately 22 years now. And all the ladies of the Burke Show, what are we doing tomorrow? We're going to go see it together.
Well, I think the marketing started for Barbie when you guys were a kid.
I think so.
So I think that, you know, sort of built into the American fabric. So when a movie's coming out, it plays on everybody's nostalgia.
And I think people are going to like love watch it. Some people are going to hate watch it to try to find something that's wrong with it, right? But with this Oppenheimer, it's like I want to know where it originated. Mm-hmm. Like, who started this becoming a thing, the Barbenheimer, to get people to try to see both or to pit these two very, very different movies against each other? Also, somebody did a trailer where they combined the two movies. And it's pretty epic.
I just thought that when that movie came out, I have been utterly stunned by how much traction it has so far, because I just thought, like, first of all, movies about history generally don't get a whole bunch of people's interest. And then one's about atomic bombs. I'm like, how is this one sort of, you know, gain this kind of momentum? And I think it's a good weekend, like you said. Mm-hmm. But people really seem to be just as interested in that.
Absolutely.
Right? But some are offended also. Like, the marketing is too much. Romeo here has been offended by a Barbie filter.
Yeah, man. Okay, here's the thing, bro. Like, I don't know whether I should be mad, I should be happy, I should be flattered, but Rebecca the other day did a filter on all of our photos, right? And for whatever reason, it made everyone else here just cool, nice, beautiful looking.
The filter turns you into a Barbie, by the way.
Yes. Okay. And so it's like, you, for example, Bert, like, you got turned into a whole completely new Ignicity. Like, I'm pretty sure that, like, really? Your filter was supposed to come to me because you have brown skin. Really? You look good and nice and everything. I was just like, okay, whoa, that's nice.
I missed this. I got to take a look at this.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Oh, dude, and the filter gave me the best boobs.
Yeah.
Oh, they are amazing.
Yeah, so, like, it turned, like, Tommy's photo was just like a badass Santa Claus looking dude.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, nice. Kaylee was just, like, a badass, like, rocker Barbie doll looking thing.
Abby's is stunning, which is why she's the cover.
Yeah, Abby looked like a Barbie, like straight up.
I guess goes with the Barbie theme. Everything looks great. Everything's sort of perfect. Aesthetically, it just pops at you. That's what the filter was?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like, I'm looking at everybody's photos go by, and I'm like, oh, that one's nice. That one's cool.
Katie's collarbones are popping.
Yeah, I gave it like all the girls' boob jobs and everything. I was like, all right, nice. And then my photo comes up, and I'm like, ooh, I'm about to look nice. It turned me into a whole completely new person. And when I mean, like, it turned me into complete, like, I became a whole different gender. Uh-huh. I got makeup done. Mm-hmm. I got a whole, like, a hairstyle that's like a nice little pompadour kind of hairstyle. And then I looked down on my chest, and they gave me some boobs.
Yep.
So hold on a second. With this filter, do you put in that you're a male or a female, or does it just take a picture and assumes?
It's like AI. It reads it. Rebecca did all these. And the fun fact is there was a lot of trouble with Mo's because every filter kept turning Mo white.
Really?
Every single one. Rebecca had to go choose different pictures because I'm like, what is happening?
That's the same thing the show is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think by the time she got to you, Romeo, she was a little tired. She's like, forget it.
So maybe it is, it took a look at your picture and you're a pretty dude. So maybe it just assumed that you were a woman.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, do I have feminine features? I don't know what it is, but now I'm bothered because all the ladies are going to the Barbie movie, but y'all forgot about Ramona. Like, am I invited too? Like, I'm apparently I'm a lady. So.
I don't even know who to complain to for you, man.
Yeah, I don't either.
I am really sorry.
But let me tell you, when I was looking at all of them and I'm laughing, and then I got to yours, I almost died. It was so funny. The fact that it gave you boobs and everything, I was like, huh, this filter might have a couple kinks in it.
The best part is, like, so all the girls, like, obviously got, like, the little Barbie, a little, like, the eyelashes, and that's it. For some reason, Romeo got, like, full-on eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Like, it applied to the women on the show. It didn't apply, like, full makeup. It just sort of enhanced eyelashes, like you have falsies on. But Romeo got, like, blue and pink makeup.
Like, I got a whole beat face. So, I don't know. I wasn't sure if to be flattered or upset about it, but, you know.
I kind of feel like you need to join the Women of the Bird Show on their Barbie excursion.
2 o'clock show in tomorrow, baby.
I got more space. Bring Romeo on.
The Bird Show.
Romeo, I'm glad you're in here because I have a question for you. And Mikey's in here, also our intern, and Abby. Those that are single on the show, and Mo, to a certain extent also. This did not happen to me. It happened to a friend of mine. And I'm wondering if this is part of the dating culture now, because it's not the first time I've heard of it. So dude goes out with woman a couple of different times, asks her out, and decides that he is going to pay for the date. I mean, it was never even really discussed, but he asked her out. So he's like, assumed that he was going to pay. I guess she was on the same wavelength. So when they went out for dinner and drinks, dude took care of everything. They had a really, really fantastic time. They were vibing. So he asks her out again. They have the same type of night where they go out to dinner. He asks her. They go out for drinks. Everything's going great. Absolutely fine. After the second date, the morning after the second date, he shoots her one of those QR code deals from Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
And asks her for 50% of everything he spent on the first two dates.
Whoa.
Ooh.
That's different.
And that's my question to you guys. Like, because I have heard of dudes doing this.
We've talked about this before, but that's because the date went sideways.
So my initial thought was everything was going fine, so he was willing to pay. And something happened on that second date where he's like, I'm probably not going to see her anymore, so I might as well try to milk her for some cash. Is that common dating now? Is that part of dating culture now?
It's never happened to me, but it also doesn't shock me. So they didn't go out on a third date. It was just the first two dates.
They were planning on going on a third date. I think that they had plans for like that weekend. And in between that second and third date, he hits her with this Venmo request.
Yeah, that's so weird. That's never once happened to me. Granted, I'm a good time, so no one's ever tried to like send it via spite to charge you. No one's ever been like backtracking. But I have split the bill on a date, but that's because I always offer. Maybe this date didn't even offer to split the bill and he kind of felt awkward. He's like, okay, I'll let it slide the first time. And then the second date comes around and he still doesn't want to be confrontational about it. So then he gets home and he's like, dang, I really got to pay off this credit card. So I'm going to send her a Venmo request. So that's really the only thing I can think of, because normally it's pretty normal to split things.
I feel like that's the gamble you take when you're dating. Like, and I distinctly remember this conversation before, like, you take a risk. It's risk versus reward. When you go on a date, you take a risk of whether or not you're going to have a good time or a bad time. And so whatever money you invest in it, you're just going to have to kiss it goodbye, especially if you're the one who asked her out and she's going out with you. Like, I think it's polite, especially now, to offer to, you know, to cover your portion. But even if you don't, that's the risk you took asking somebody out on a date.
Intern Mikey.
Could it be an experiment? Could it be testing her? Like... Will you put some money up to keep me around?
I would fail.
Could it be an experiment?
I don't know too many women that would pass.
And I don't know too many guys that would be calculated that way.
Nah, I don't think so.
Right. Romeo.
Yeah, no, I think this is just like a way to burn the bridge real quick. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because if you're just doing it out of nowhere, it's just kind of like, oh, like, I know she's going to be bothered by this. And then it's like the date, the third date's not going to happen at this point. So maybe it was a way for him to get out of it.
But the third date was it was like on the books, ready to happen.
Not only would I cancel that Venmo request, but I would send him one and charge him for his audacity.
How much
is the audacity? It's very, with inflation, very expensive these days.
Yeah, I've never heard of this. Maybe it's still, I guess, traditional in a sense to, if you ask someone out, you should pay for the date. That's why I understand the coffee date or the dates that'll be a little cheaper at first. I get that. But the only thing that would make sense to me is what Romeo said, is if you know you don't want to talk to her anymore and you're like, well, let me just see if I can get 50% out of it since we're done anyway. But if you want to see her again, I don't get this move.
Yeah, I wouldn't charge. Like, if I'm really feeling you, like, I'm going to keep paying for the dates.
Right.
So it's like, to me, it just feels like that was his way out of it.
So what is the protocol now? So when you guys are out on dates, because look, when I was dating, it was just a foregone conclusion that I was going to pick up. First of all, it was rarely volunteered. And if it was, I'm traditional that way. I was going to take care of it. So now, do you guys even discuss who's going to pay on the date?
So if a guy asks me out, in the back of my mind, I'm assuming that he's going to pay. But every single time I got to do that awkward thing, and it's my least favorite part of every single date, because it's always some kind of dance. It's never just like, oh, let me pay. You got to like grab your wallet, and then he goes, no. And then you have to go, yes. And then he has to go, no. And then you're like, okay.
Yeah, no, I use that conversation as an excuse to get a second date. Because if I ask a girl out, I'm already in the mindset that I'm going to pay for this date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if she offers, like, once we get the bill and she offers to pay her part of it, I'm like, all right, great. But no, I asked you on this date. Let me just do the gentleman thing of paying for it. And if she's, like, fighting for it, and we're like, how about you take care of the next one? And so then now I have set up the second date. So I kind of use that as my advantage sometimes.
All right. Intern Mikey, if you were lucky enough to get a date.
He's got a girlfriend.
I'm just kidding.
He's the only one going up here. He calls her my lady.
How did it start with your lady?
I don't do the dance. I don't go dancing. You kind of look corny too, though. You take your wallet out and you're like, relax, I got this.
Uh-huh.
You just pay.
Yeah.
I've never seen a dance, and I don't shuck and jive.
I would say even if a woman asked me out, I'm so thankful I would definitely pay for the date.
Yeah, I'm always paying. I'm always assuming that I'm paying.
Yeah, if I ask a woman out and she offers to pay, I already know she's overpaying to go out with me.
She's also paying for the audacity.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Whoopi Goldberg walked off the set of The View yesterday. So the women were in the middle of a debate that we actually had a couple days ago about that Miranda Lambert thing. You know, where she was on stage, she saw some fans in the audience, they were taking selfies, and she wasn't happy about it. So she decided, I'm going to yell at them.
What could be so appalling about that debate that she would walk out of the studio?
Oh, well, you will find out. So obviously, like, the women, like, they're getting heated, they're giving their opinions, and Whoopi decided to make her point. So she gets off the table and she goes into the audience, and she actually decided to make her point by taking selfies with some of the people in the audience. She was like, see how it feels? It doesn't feel that great. So she was trying to like...
That's different. They're paying you to be there.
Yeah, that's true.
No, those are free tickets.
I think for Whoopi?
Yeah, for free tickets to The View, yeah.
She actually turned me around a little bit. So hear me out.
Okay.
I still feel like you're paying that much money. If you're taking one selfie to commemorate the moment, fine. But if you're there and you're blatantly not paying any attention to what's on stage and you're just having a conversation with somebody and you're ignoring the person that you're there to see, that is disrespectful. Like, if we were doing a live podcast of The Burt Show, right, and we're there and we're talking, and then there's people in the front that are not paying any attention, they're not listening to us, they're sitting there taking selfies with each other, they're on their phone the whole time, you would feel bad about it.
I might joke about it. I'm not going to make a big old stand like Miranda Lambert did. She was just, like, so appalled by the whole thing. No, I wouldn't be that upset.
As a comedian, it kind of reminds me of, like, when people pay to come see you just to sit front row and stare at you and pretend you're not funny. It's like, it's not hurting me, bro, at all. Like, as long as you paid to come see me, I really don't care what you do.
I already cashed the check.
That's it.
$750 is a lot of money. You should be able to take a couple of selfies without being called out in front of 20,000 people.
No, I mean, and I agree. Like, when I first heard it, I was like, it's cringe. You should be allowed to take a selfie in the front row. But it sounds to me what I'm trying to do is give Miranda a little grace, and hopefully those girls had been like just dismissive the entire show, and she finally just had enough. Like, why are you even here? You're not even listening. Somebody else, like a true fan, could have sat. That's my way of thinking. A true fan could have sat in those seats. Well, no, they couldn't have because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah, but a true fan could have paid $751.
Post Malone, he's keeping his promise to a fan who suffered a life-altering brain hemorrhage. This is a really sweet story. So this fan's sister actually made a TikTok detailing how much of a fan this guy is. And even though he had been in a coma, she actually said that when he listened to Post Malone's music, you could still see a smile on his face. So Post Malone actually did get in contact with him. So he came out of a coma in August, so about a year ago. And then when that happened, he sent him a bunch of merch and a little video, and they finally got to meet each other on Monday. So it was really sweet.
That's cool. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Marilyn Manson is pleading no contest to blowing his nose on a woman. So back in 2019, he blew his nose on a videographer at a concert, and he was charged with 2 misdemeanor counts of simple assault. He's expected to plead no contest to 1 charge, and one of them is supposed to get like dismissed.
So I'm trying to imagine like blowing your nose on somebody. So essentially, he shot a snot rocket at her.
Yeah, so allegedly, he approached the videographer in the pit area, got his face like up close and personal, and then spit a big loogie at her.
Oh,
and then he's also accused of going up a second time to blow his nose on her arms and hands.
Okay, so it doesn't make that whole Miranda Lambert thing seem so outrageous.
Yeah, she's in the clear now.
I mean, on a selfie or a snot rocket.
Yeah, or if you're taking selfies, you might get a snot rocket in the front row.
Exactly. CMT just pulled Jason Aldean's new song off the air. We'll talk all about the controversial new track on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
For a week now, or 2 weeks now, we've been talking about clearing some wish lists for some teachers that have been paying for books and supplies, decorations for their classrooms, right? Just to underscore how willing they are to give, here's the audio of a teacher in Ohio that was surprising one of his students by donating one of his kidneys.
They had already had the call that was, you have a donor. And that's the big call.
Yeah.
That's the big phone call. So then when you get one a couple days later, like, hey, the guy who taught the Pythagorean theorem is going to give a kidney. So approached it as a math teacher. Like, odds are I won't be a match. I have 2 kidneys and I only need 1. So that works. I have an extra. It's easy to just talk yourself out of it. If I would have put too much thought into it, I would have found some reason to not.
So that wasn't on the Amazon clear my wish list. A kidney. That was simply volunteer. All right, so let's help out another teacher today.
Teachers, get all your classroom needs fulfilled right now. Burt Show, clear my wish list.
However, if Kidney Teacher does have a wish list that he needs cleared, I think we can handle it for him.
Yeah, we should double up. We should double up on that one. You guys helped out Stephanie Heckrell yesterday from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Here she is thanking you guys.
Hey, everybody. This is Miss Heckrell with Carolina Park Elementary again. Just wanting to say thank you to all of you wonderful listeners, the Burt Show and Tommy. And you are just so very generous and amazing and over the top in helping clear the items off of our classroom wish list. My students are going to be so excited to start the year off in a room that is bright, inviting, and will be their happy place each and every school day. They're going to love the wonderful stories about people who dared to do the extraordinary, using art and craft materials to build and create amazing things, using the flexible seating, and of course we can't forget the magic that's going to happen when the 2G scientists put on those cute little lab coats and dissect owl pellets to learn more about owls and their ecosystems. So thank you again for the positive impact you have truly had on me and my students, and for throwing kindness like confetti. We really appreciate you.
All right, so you helped out big time yesterday. Let's try again today. Now, Chrissy Albertson has been teaching for 29 years.
Oh, wow.
But this wish list is not about Chrissy. Chrissy called in for her daughter, Katie, who's going to be teaching 7th grade math at Teasley Middle School in Canton.
Hey there, Bertso. My name is Christy, and I am calling about my daughter, Katie. Katie is 22 years old. She just graduated from Auburn University, and she is a week away from starting her first year teaching. She'll be teaching seventh grade math at Title I school in Cherokee County, Georgia. I've heard you guys do this the last few years, and I've waited for the chance to do this for my daughter. She's super excited about teaching. This would just be a great way to kick off what I hope is an outstanding career. Katie doesn't even know what she needs. She hasn't seen her classroom yet to begin thinking of ideas to make it a place where these seventh grade kids are going to want to be. I am a teacher myself. I'm about to start my 29th year teaching, so I helped her with a wish list for things that I know are the necessities for a math classroom. I can't say enough about Katie. She's just a super young lady. I'm so proud of her for taking a job at a Title I school when she had a handful of other offers. Teaching's more difficult every year, and since math is the only subject that counts, I hope that you please consider Katie for this opportunity. Thank you.
How cool for a mom.
I know.
She's been doing this her whole life, and her daughter's taking a look at her going, I want to be like, Mom.
That's greatest awesome. Honor. Like, yeah. I have the goosebumps all over that she not only wanted to follow in her mom's footsteps, but Mom is so proud of her that she nominated her for the wish list.
So let's try and clear her wish list today. Again, we're not asking you to clear all of them by yourself. Just one here, one there. Some of the items on this list might be $10. Some of them might be $30. If you could just clear one by yourself, then we can come back tomorrow morning and say we cleared that wish list. So all the info up online at thebirchshow.com, and we'll be on all of our socials as well. All right, today is follow-up Thursday, so this is the day that when we have, like, open storylines, you guys remind us of them, and we do the research on it. And this was Elizabeth saying, hey, Bert Show, I'd like to follow up from November 7th. There were two sisters. Their mom had died, and one sister read her private journals and planned on burning them. Did any info come out about it? We have not followed up.
Yeah, Elizabeth, who left this on Instagram, was on point. The original story did air on November 7th of 2022. So a month after their mom passed away, two sisters discovered their mom's journals. She was very private about her journal, and if they were ever around when she was writing, she would immediately hide it. One sister reached out to us conflicted. She wanted to respect her late mother's privacy, but her sister thought reading the journals would bring her closer to her mom. Some listeners thought reading the journal would give insight, but the majority thought they should not read it. The next day, the other sister reached out defending her decision to read the journals. Last we heard, the original sister was on a mission to get to the journal before her sister could read it, but she was too late. Her sister read the journals, refused to tell her sister what their mom wrote. Because of this, she now felt like her sister had the upper hand and a deeper connection with their mom. Did she ever find out what was in the journals or let it go?
My sister, who was initially all for reading the journals and couldn't wait to dive into them headfirst, had a change of heart. She ended up wishing she hadn't read them. It seems that what she found inside those pages has made her look back on our family's shared past and our time with mom a little differently. I guess it wasn't in the positive, nostalgic way she might have hoped. Now she's got this different perspective, one that's sort of shadowed by the thoughts and feelings that were private to our mom. She says it's changed the way she remembers things, and that's thrown her for a bit of a loop.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, hearing all of this from her has only reaffirmed my decision not to read them. I mean, why would I want my memories of mom and our family life to be altered? But I won't lie, it's definitely made things a little awkward between us. It's like we're both looking at the same painting, but seeing different things. She's looking at it through the lens of the journals, and I'm looking at it through the lens of my own memories. But I'm glad I stuck with my gut feeling and kept my memories as they are. They're untainted, you know? They're mine, and they're real. I remember mom as she was to me, not as she was in her private thoughts. I appreciate you checking in, and thanks for the original advice you offered back then.
That takes some real strength, because when sister comes back and goes, oh God, you won't believe what I wrote, for our listener to say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's real strength right there.
It's a tremendous strength.
I would want to know. If my brother knew and I knew he knew, I would want to know, but I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I
there's
wouldn't
nothing
touch
you
it.
Can. We warned her about that. There's nothing you can do. If there's anything in there, it's not like you can have a conversation with mom. That's
He's
it.
Gone, yeah.
Yeah. Both you guys are going to be in heaven when that happens.
Keep your own memories.
Push that can down the road.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
All right, speaking of heaven, Mo.
Dang near died in a Lyft, man.
I literally thought I was going to die in a car. And I take a lot of Lyft rides, but I've never been in fear for my life. Like, this made me actually consider being serious about getting a car now.
Really?
It was that serious.
The ride was that bad?
It was horrible. It was the worst ride ever. And I've never even given a bad review in Lyfts. Normally, I'm like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, whatever. And this was the first time where, like, across the board, I was like, I'm going to save somebody else the trouble and make sure that they know this guy should not be driving people around. So it was extremely awkward from the moment I got in the car. I knew it was going to be one of those. And it's ironic because I'm not much of a luxury Lyft guy. I don't really care that much. But in this particular day, I guess it was something with the traffic and the way things were going. The luxury ride was actually cheaper than the regular ride. So I'm excited about this. I'm like, this never happens. I'm about to pull up in style. So I go downstairs. It's a brand new Tesla, beautiful car. I get in thinking this is going to be the best Lyft ride of my life. And immediately, I get in, and the guy, like, turns around and stares at me real awkwardly for maybe 5 seconds. But he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say, like, hello, you know, nothing. Just staring at me. So now we're, like, just both awkwardly staring at each other. Like, what are we doing? So I'm like, hello? So he goes, is that water? And I have a water. It's a water bottle. Uh-huh. So I imagine you would assume it's water. Mm-hmm. I don't know if maybe he picks people up when they have water bottles, but it's actually alcohol. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want. And I thought maybe he just didn't want drinks in his car, which that happens. And so it's fine. I'll put the water bottle away. And I'm like, yeah, dude, it's water. So he's like, okay, because you know. And then he starts telling me about how I guess it's illegal to bring alcohol into a Lyft in Georgia. I never heard of this, but he's spent 2 minutes giving me the entire law. Like, he knew it word for word.
I thought he was going to ask you for, like, a swig. Which would have been equally weird.
I don't think he needed another one, which is kind of where the story is going.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm like, it's water, bro. Like, you want to smell it? I don't. What do you want me to do here? And he's like, no, it's fine. I just wanted to make sure. So I'm like, okay, cool. So then he turns around. And he pulls off kind of aggressively. So now it's like, we've already gotten off at the wrong foot. I'm back there just completely uncomfortable. Then he gets a phone call. So, you know, like in Teslas, they have what appear to be like almost like they're big screens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's really big screens. So he gets a phone call. I'm assuming it's his wife. And he takes the phone call, which, okay, fine. You know, you're talking to your wife. I don't care. But they immediately start arguing. I mean, like, There was no grace period.
Can you see her face on the screen, or is this just an audio call?
This is an audio call, but it's her picture.
All right.
So he goes, again? I'm at work! And he's just, like, almost at the top of his lungs yelling, I'm at work. And she sounds calm, but she's trying to say something to him, and then he just keeps yelling, I keep telling you I'm at work. Stop calling me while I'm at work. Jeez! And then he hangs up the phone. And then I'm thinking, like, okay, he's going to say, like, sorry for that. Nothing. Just continues to drive. Then he goes, you ever heard of this guy? I don't remember the guy's name. Just says, like, a random name of a guy I've never heard of in my life. So now I don't know if we're friends or not. Because I'm like, no, I've never heard of him. He's like, he's a really good rapper. So he turns it on. And then it's like this political rapper who starts rapping about all kinds of things that I just didn't want to listen to in the lift. He's rapping about how racism isn't real. And like he's going on and on about just a bunch of offensive political things.
So I think at this point it's appropriate to ask the question, is the driver white or is he black?
He was maybe Middle Eastern.
Okay.
I would assume.
All right.
And he puts it on and then he just says, I think this guy is so good. People don't like him because they think he's offensive, but I think he's great.
Ooh.
So now I'm like, okay, what kind of message are you trying to send? Are you doing? But I'm not engaging. Uh-huh. I'm just not doing. I just want to get to my destination. Just when I thought that was enough, the dude gets on the highway and starts doing, I mean, literally, because you can, like, the big screen, you can see how fast the car is going, like, clear as day. At one point, he's doing 97.
What?
97 miles per hour.
Were you not screaming from the back, like, slow the bleep down?
So at one point, I did. Like, at first, he started, like, kind of zooming in and out of traffic, probably doing 70 or 80. And that's when I was like, all right, bro, like, what are you doing? Then when he picked it up and I saw 90,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, I know I'm not true. So I'm like, my man, you mind slowing down a little bit? Just yeah. A little bit? Like,
I'm not in a rush.
Like, personally, you're dropping me off and I'm not in a rush. So why
are you dropping you
this?
Off at a funeral, huh?
Right? So he goes, yeah, sorry. And then just keeps going the same exact speed.
Oh, man.
I mean, doesn't slow down a little bit. And almost every time, he's like, he comes up to behind a car. It's like one, it's heartbreaking. So I'm in the back end whiplash every time. And I'm holding on to the seat in front of me. And he probably did at least over 75 the entire way there and would not slow down no matter how many times I asked. I was legit in fear for my life.
So when you get out of the car, how do you two part ways?
There was no discussion. I don't even think this car stopped by the time I opened the door.
Tuck and roll, baby.
Rolled about that car.
Tiffany and I took a vacation to Key West one weekend. And when we got out of the airport, we got into a Lyft also. And it was a dude that he must have been in his 70s, Florida-looking dude, too, man. Just, like, all pruned out, like, what was that woman's name in Something About Mary?
Magda?
Magda?
Magda? Yeah.
Looked like her, right? All hunched over and stuff, but I'm like, okay, so our Lyft driver. So we start driving to the Keys. This dude could not he wasn't drunk. He was just old, and he could not keep the car on the road. He was swerving to the right and swerving to the left, and we were both so nervous. I literally said to him, dude, do you want me to drive?
I got it, man.
The Burt Show.
Do you break up immediately, or do you give him or her a chance? If your mom, after meeting them for the first time, says, absolutely not. Ditch your date.
Yeah, if you're out in the dating world, you know just how hard it is to get out there and meet somebody good. So when you finally swipe left, you swipe right, you swipe left, you swipe right, and you find someone good, you're like, oh my God, hallelujah. So that's what's going on with my friend right now. She's been dating this guy for a couple of months. And normally when my friends start dating guys, I'm ragging on them on the radio because usually they suck. But so far, I've only heard good things about this guy. So I'm like rooting for her. She actually got to meet his family over like the 4th of July weekish type thing. And so she goes over to their house for their little cookout, whatever. You know, they're grilling burgers. He has some brothers and they have wives. So she's getting along with the sister-in-laws and she's grilling with the dad and she really likes the mom. And everything was just going really, really well. Until about like early-ish evening, that's when things started to take a little bit of a weird turn. So she was over there like playing with the kids or something, having a ball, because again, everything's been smooth sailing until now. And the mom was a couple of like wine coolers deep and like pulled her in. She's like, honey, I need help with the dessert. Come into the kitchen with me. So she pulls her into the kitchen and they're making small talk and they're talking about how they met in their first date and how wonderful it was. And she starts working on this trifle thing and I'll never forget this because she was saying like as the conversation got progressively worse, her mixing for the trifle just got like progressively more aggressive. So like at first she's talking about the first date and it's all sweet. And then all of a sudden as things start to pick up, she's like, so tell me how you really feel about my son. And she just looks at her and she's like, well, I told you how I feel about David. Like where it's going really, really well. And then the mom just kind of gets this really serious look on her face. And she goes, well, if I were you, I would cheat on him. And she like starts crying.
Yeah.
Like, what mom is going to say that? So she's,
Mo, could you imagine your mother ever telling a girl you dated to do that?
Absolutely not.
So she's looking at her and she's like, well, what do you mean? And the mom starts to tear up a little bit. And she's like, well, you know, my son, his last girlfriend, he cheated on her and it just really broke her heart. And we were really close. And I just don't think it's fair for you for the same thing to happen to you. And basically she just goes on this whole like crying tangent about how her son has commitment issues and he transferred colleges twice and he cheated on the girlfriend and he could never keep a sport down. And the my friend is just sitting there like, okay, Karen, like it's going to be fine. So she basically finds out from the mom through like this whole like drunken stupor that like he... And she knew that he had this long-term girlfriend, but she didn't know how the relationship ended. She had found out that he had cheated on her. And I guess like the mom and the girlfriend were like really, really close. And so she like eventually leaves the kitchen and like walks out. She's like, okay, Karen, like finish your trifle. I'm going to go talk to David. So the rest of the party, obviously super, super awkward. And then she pulls David aside the next morning and she's like, hey, like, I just want to talk to you about something that your mom told me, kind of concerning. Didn't know that you cheated on your last girlfriend. Let's talk about that. And he basically just said it was a couple of years ago. You know, he said that he just knew he wanted to end the relationship, but he was honestly like too much of a coward to do anything. So he just kind of imploded and self-sabotaged it. And he said, obviously it was super messy. The mom and the girlfriend were super close. So it was a hard thing breaking up the family. And so now she's kind of sitting there like, my mother-in-law wants to get revenge in honor of the ex-girlfriend on my behalf. And then also now she has this like emotional landmine in her head. She's like, now is my boyfriend going to cheat on me? His mom says she's going to.
Right. If your chief reference is your mom and she's the one going, this is not a good bet, it would certainly get in your head.
Well, that I would not give that reference a lot of credence.
Because of the wine coolers?
Well, the Bartles and James. And also...
when's the last time?
I know, right?
Bartles and James.
That's what my mom used to drink back in the day, and that's what we stole from the refrigerator in the garage to take to my friend's house so we could split them. Peach Schnapps was her jam, by the way. So I feel like I'm not going to let my boyfriend's mother dictate the future of our relationship. There are some sane moms and there are some not sane moms. And I wouldn't let this deter me from the relationship just because mom said this, because this is a mom issue. This is not a he and I issue.
That's a good point.
As a son, what shocks me about this is I would imagine if my mom were like that, I would know. And I would never bring like a girlfriend around my mom. So I wonder if he knew that this is something his mom would do, or if this like completely was a shock to him.
I don't know, but that relationship, you talk about fracture between son and mom right there, man. You don't go against family.
It would never be the same.
Yeah, well, unless he's just used to that and that's like her, like... That's her MO.
Yes. Yeah, maybe he wanted the mom to implode it. He's like, I don't want to bring up the fact that I cheated on my last girlfriend, so I'm going to let Karen do it over a nice trifle.
That's going to get in your head for sure.
The Bert Show.
Over the course of the last couple of days, there has been like one case, I think, that has been cited from parents of parents saying, man, you just can't trust anything anymore. And it's been a horrible story that I really think that can play at your soul. And it was the story, I don't know if you guys have heard this, about the kid, the little toddler that was walking down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was Carly Russell who called 911 and said that she saw a toddler, I think she said 3 or 4 years old, walking down the road. And when cops arrived, they found, I think, her vehicle and her cell phone, and she had gone missing. So everybody was like, oh my God, she got abducted. This was somebody doing some kind of sex trafficking and using a child to lure her in. And it captured the nation's attention. Like, I mean, everybody was, it was all over social media, her picture and sharing. And it was, for once, a black woman goes missing and people care. Because so often, and I pulled up the stats because I was curious, despite making up 13% of the female population, studies have shown that black women account for 35% of the country's missing women. But so often when these stories do go viral, it's a white woman. It's not a person. When the children go missing, it's a white kid. It's not a child of color. So, you know, the nation was on pins and needles trying to figure this out. And then she was found and she was safe. And the family asked for privacy. And they just held a press conference yesterday and more details are coming out. And it's looking like she was not abducted and she made the whole thing up.
So she calls 911.
We have the 911 call if you want to play it.
Sure.
Hi, I am on Interstate 459 and there is a pig just walking by their cell.
Hold on. Where I'm supposed to go, are
you? I'm right next to the exit 10 by the Pumper Bay, like to get off by the Pumper
Bay. Okay, so you're before that exit?
So anyway, she's following this kid. You can turn it down. So she's following this kid in her car, allegedly, right? Yeah. And she's giving physical details of this kid walking down the road, and she wants to help out. So now it's this Good Samaritan story mm-hmm. of somebody like seeing a child, doing what's right, getting out, calling 911, getting out and helping the child, and then she goes missing. Really, as a parent, as anybody, you're already skeptical about the bad things that go on in this country, and you're like, Jesus, now people are using kids as bait in order to kidnap somebody.
And then she's found and she tells the police a story, and then the police start doing more investigation into her phone and her computer, and this is some of the stuff they found.
On July 13th at 12:10 p.m., a search for the movie Taken, a film about abduction, was conducted. There were two searches later to Amber Alerts on a computer at Carly's place of employment, including one regarding the maximum age of an Amber Alert. There were other searches on Carly's phone that appeared to shed some light on her mindset.
So, taking all that into account, it's devastating, and I think it's also devastating for black women. And I don't want this story to prevent anybody from not believing when a black woman is abducted, or not wanting to share that information, or not wanting to shed light on the missing black women in this country.
And that's what I'm afraid of, is that this story and what has come out is a setback for black women. It's a setback for us, because the first time, like you said, that someone's actually taking us seriously and like, okay, all right, we're going to look for this black woman, she's playing games. And now we have to deal with that, because I don't think in the future we'll get the same attention ever again. I think that's still going to change. I don't think black women will ever be taken serious when there is a real missing case.
That's scary too, Ma.
Yeah, I remember the first time I read the statistic that Kristen read earlier, and I was like blown away by that, because I didn't realize it was so bad. And then when I started to really think back, it does appear that anytime a black woman goes missing, if you do hear about it, it's only within the black community, and it's over so quickly. And for this to get such national attention and for it to be like this, it does make you feel like we're never going to get on the other side of it now, because you only need one person to do something like this for the excuse to be, well, when we did try, look what happened. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate, but that's the kind of thing that happens when you do this.
But I'm here saying right now, this should not be a setback. This is one incident. This is one woman. We don't really know the reason. There's still more information coming in. I feel anybody who does something like this, they're obviously dealing with something mentally or that they're struggling with. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want this to be a setback. I don't think this should be a setback, this one-off situation, and that the same amount of attention for any white woman that goes missing and it goes viral should be given to any woman of color.
We don't even know if there was a toddler, right?
I don't think
they don't think there was even a toddler. So she was making this whole thing up, mm-hmm. and we don't know what her motivation was, but no. I can certainly understand, like, finally, you know, like, people are into a story, it's mainstream here, and when it turns out that it looks like it's a hoax, it can really make you super skeptical the next time.
Her family's standing by her, though, right?
Yes, they are. That's the one thing they did. Even when it was when their footage came out that she had checked into a hotel, her family was like, no, that's not her. Like, they're really standing beside her on this.
We just got to remember that one isolated incident does not represent all of anything.
Yes.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Country Music Television is no longer airing Jason Aldean's music video. Try that in a small town. So the song and video are facing a ton of backlash right now. A lot of people are perceiving it as being in favor of gun violence and lynching. So the music video features Jason Aldean and his band in a city called Columbia, Tennessee, and they're singing alongside the track with some news footage. Some of the footage includes a woman spitting in a cop's face, the American flag being burned, police pushing against crowds at protests, and a man walking into what looks like a gas station and then getting decked by another man. He like falls to the floor. Not long after the video's release, online critics started highlighting some of the song lyrics as heightening gun violence and basically being like, it's okay to get people riled up. So some of the lyrics are sucker punch somebody on a sidewalk, carjack an old lady at a red light, pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool? Well, act a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough? We'll try that. In a small town. So he released this with a statement that said, when you grow up in a small town, it's an unspoken rule that we all have each other's backs and we look out for each other. It feels like somewhere along the way, that sense of community and respect has gotten lost.
So the song has been out since May and it never really raised any red flags at all. In fact, I listened to it a whole bunch of different times and never even like raised a red flag to me. Like, I understand what he's saying about a small town. My fiance is from a small town. I frequent a lot of small towns. I even kind of grew up in a small town outside of San Diego, but not all that small. So I understand that the pride he has in it and the attitude is different in a small town. I didn't hear any like overtly racist anything in that song or endorsement of violence. I just think he was saying, you can't try that stuff. The stuff you're doing in the big city doesn't fly here in a small town. But I think the video just came out, and here's where the real controversy lies, because while the song can be interpreted as a small town anthem, they made a brutal, quote unquote, mistake on where they shot the video, and it changes the texture of the lyrics on the song when you know the history of where it was shot. And I gotta believe that producers and directors are smart enough to do research on the location before they shoot it there. And this is the history. It was shot at the Maury County Courthouse in Columbia, Tennessee, where a black man who was 18 at the time was lynched in 1927. And the site is also infamous for the Columbia Race Riot, which occurred in 1946. So it was right on those the steps of that courthouse. So when you put those two together, for me, the texture did change of the song.
And it did for me as well. And it's not like you're going to know everything about every location you film. But if you're filming a song like this with the lyrics that it has and the tone that it has and the message that it has, you are responsible for doing your research unless as far as like where you're shooting it and what the history might be. But yeah, I felt the exact same way. Like it just, full disclosure, that's the first time I've ever heard that song because I'm not a country music fan. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to country music. It's just not my jam. And so having heard it growing up in Kentucky, I did not grow up in a small town, but I have frequented small towns. To me, it screams divide, like you're trying to divide people rather than bring them together. And that's the message I didn't appreciate. It didn't come across as like rah, rah, small town. Let's support each other. We got each other's back. It was just felt more of like a division.
I can't help but feel some of the frustration that he felt in that song. Also, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel safe walking the streets in a lot of big cities also. But when we go to visit Tiffany's family out in Gainesville, I feel very safe out there. The attitude is different in a small town. So for me, the song wasn't offensive until you know the history of the location.
You feel more safe. Mo, where would you feel more safe walking by yourself?
Not in a small town.
Yep.
Definitely not. This is the first time I'm hearing about all of this. Once it was known that the history of the place where they filmed the video was their response from the producers, from the artists, or anything about why they did it, or if were they just saying that they were ignorant to the history of it, or...
I haven't seen the response to the location.
So I looked up, because I was like, how do you not know what happened there? And basically they said Jason didn't know, he didn't choose the location, and they also said that it was just a popular filming location for that area.
I ain't buying that.
And when you watch the music video, too, there's imagery that It looks like protesters and protests, and then there's a news headline projected on the courthouse that is about the man who was shot in Georgia during an environmental protest by police, because it was alleged that he shot at police back, but there were big protests in Georgia over it. And so when you watch the visual context of the song, it doesn't seem like it's about some rando who's robbing a liquor store. Try that in a small town. We have each other's backs. It seems like if you're protesting and you're up in people's faces and you're rioting or you're standing up for stuff, try that in a small town. And that's the vibe it gets, that he's not talking about your common everyday criminal and you're having your neighbor's back. It's more like, try to stop disrupting the status quo. Go ahead, try and protest stuff. See what happens. And that comes across as a threat to a lot of protesters who are allowed to protest peacefully.
Kim, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi, I'm just in, you know, they take things like this off the radio and whatnot, and I get that, and hearing you guys talk about it makes total sense. But how come kids and everything can still play games where they shoot and kill people and there's guns everywhere, but emojis on a phone or a squirt gun? It just makes no sense to me.
I'm not really sure the connection you're making here.
Just about, it's more so the gun violence thing. How can you have video games that kids play shooting guns, but you can't have guns in a music video?
She wants to know why one is okay and the other is not.
I think
this one have guns. I haven't seen the music video. Are there guns in the music video? Or is it more just the message?
A little bit, but I don't think that was his overall message. I think it was just like, hey, there's a lot of crap going on in the city.
Yeah.
We're going to have each other's back in a small town.
So they didn't pull it because of the guns. They pulled it because of the message.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And also, video games have ratings, so that's on the parents. You're not supposed to be playing like Call of Duty at the age of 13. It's inappropriate, but people let it happen anyway because that's just life. And the water gun emoji, you're talking about the Apple changing the gun emoji to a water gun emoji. That is a big international company making a step in a direction that they felt was appropriate and safer.
I think, as I said, the song has been out since May, but the visual on it, maybe the video just came out, and that's why there's controversial, because the song itself didn't raise any red flags with anybody.
Yeah, I think combined with that, it's really, it doesn't look good. What did Ice Spice really think about Taylor Swift reaching out to collab with her? I'll tell you what she said on her ex E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Our intern Mikey's got himself in a situation where he's wondering if he's being an a-hole or not.
Yeah, so let me break it down. I had a roommate. I got three other roommates other than me. I'm not my own roommate. He was living with me. He dropped out during Christmas time. After he dropped out, some things came to light about him, so we had to cut ties. It was a mess. And
you're not gonna get the tea.
He laid his hands on his lady. Real rough.
Bye bye.
Okay. See ya.
Yeah, they were comfortable yelling in front of me, but I didn't know that it got to that point. So that room turned into a guest room, bathroom. It was a circus in there all the time because he didn't lock his door. And most of his stuff was moved out. So it was just random people walking in and out of there all the time. One time, me and the old ball and chain. We're sitting in the living room for like 2 hours whenever some random person comes walking out of the room. So it's like people I don't even know are in my house. But I had this friend. She is doing a nursing internship in Milledgeville. She had to move out of her apartment. So I said, if you need to finish it up, you can stay in this extra room. And so she said she'd do that. I washed the sheets, got all the circus juice out. Circus juice.
I'm gonna Urban Dictionary that real quick.
I don't think you'll find it.
Let's just say you can also see that with a black light as well.
You're learning a lot this week.
Sexual education here.
When you listen to our texting tutor yesterday, we defined a term for Abby that she had never heard before. You'll hear it tomorrow because we recorded it yesterday.
Yeah. So she's staying there. Her mom cooked me. Or baked, I guess you call it, cookies and brownies as a gesture for my hospitality.
Did you tell her also cash is nice? Cookies and brownies. I should've.
But also, let's make this clear. I offered her my room because I didn't want to stick her in that nightmare place, but she denied it. Whatever. She calls me one morning crying, It's never good when a lady calls you crying. She's crying. I said, what's happening? What's going on? Turns out she was sleeping. She was working nights, so she was sleeping during the day. There was someone pounding on the door.
Door of the house or door of the bedroom?
They got into the house. Okay. They were pounding on the bedroom door, saying, is anyone in there? Who's in there? They end up opening the door. She jumps up and gets dressed super fast. It turns out to be my ex-roommate's parents to go, like, collect whatever stuff he had left. I assured her before she moved in, nobody's going to be back. There's no possible chance. They haven't been back in 6 months. What are you, crazy? They came back. Damn. The dad is a maniac, too. So he's yelling at her, like, who is this lady in my son's room? He's yelling at her. She's crying. She ran across the street to a parking lot and called me immediately. Girls crying have a weird effect on men. I think everyone reacts differently. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to help. I was laughing. She was laughing, too, to be fair. She was laughing through the tears. But, yeah, I didn't know how to help her. But she is legitimately angry with me because that happened.
And you were just trying to do a good thing.
Yeah, I was trying to be a good guy.
I don't think you're an a-hole. I think you just made an honest mistake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Assuming that the parents wouldn't come back to get stuff. Because she's in this room, so it's not her stuff. It's like, it's your old roommate's bed. It's your old roommate's dresser. It's all of his old stuff.
Yeah.
That everybody's just been using and putting their circus juice all over.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does feel like that's how life works, right? Like, you get 6 months, not a peep, not a sound, and then the one time you try to do something nice, of course, that would be the time that they try to come back.
Exactly. So she is legitimately mad at me, and I'm like, I didn't know anything. Come on. Got me slack.
Yeah, claim ignorance at that point, man. Yep. Absolutely. So what happened with the parents? Did they yell at her, and then they take off?
They yelled at her. She called me, so I had to text the guy, even though I didn't want to, and I said, this is what happened. I should have let you know. Didn't do it. He said, it's all good. I cleared it up. But now, I think she moved out. She might have taken her cookies with her, too.
You're in this really, really, how old are you now?
What am I, 21?
21, yeah. You get a lot of grace from parents because you just are going to do stupid things.
Yeah.
So while they might be mad at you for a second, they're just like, they're going to be like, ah, dude's 21.
Yeah, I put a lot on being an idiot.
So you made a mistake, assuming that the parents wouldn't come back and get the stuff. So, and it was a nice gesture to let her stay there while she was doing her nursing internship. But because a mistake was made, and you on that, it was a mistake, right?
Yeah.
An honest one. It wasn't like, so how did you make it up to her?
I'm going to give her some cookies and brownies.
There you go.
It is. I'm glad you didn't say circus cheese.
The Bert Show.
So my son right now is in the process of getting his driver's license, and I don't know the exact numbers, but he has to have a certain amount of hours in the car with me. He has to have a certain amount of instructional hours in a car with a professional. He also has to spend like 30 hours online doing 30 hours.
30 hours?
30 hours?
Wow. 30 hours, man.
I'm not mad at it.
Right? I wish it was 130 hours. So as we're driving down the road the other day, and he's driving and we're talking, he said, you know, I've been reading that manual, the one that I need to know kind of back and forth.
Oh, the manual. You remember your driver's manual that you had to learn, all the different signs?
Yep. And he said, do you know, and I looked it up this morning just to make sure it was fact, that in Georgia, and I'm not sure if it's the entire state or it's just Marietta, that the law that's still on the books is it is illegal to spit out of a car or a bus.
Oh, whoa. I believe that.
That's not the bizarre point. It's illegal, but it is legal to spit out of a truck.
Wait, what?
That is the most Georgia thing I have ever heard.
Right?
So you can spit out of a truck.
Yes.
But you cannot spit out of a car.
That is true.
Okay, good to know.
Okay. Just so you know when you're driving. Just bizarre,
that's
right?
Very bizarre.
All right, so it was a once-in-a-lifetimer for Mikey here, huh, Tommy? A
couple nights ago, I had the company tickets that are awesome for the Braves game. And these seats, for example, are closer to home plate than the pitcher's mound is. So I had an extra ticket, and I reached out to Kaylee. He couldn't go. And I thought, who's a Braves fan? I think Mikey's a Braves fan. So I called Mikey. This is like an hour before the game. I'm already at the game. And I said, are you a Braves fan? He said, yeah. I said, come on down. I got a ticket for you. I didn't tell him what the tickets were like. I just sent them to him. And then he gets to the stadium.
I thought I was going to be sitting in the nosebleeds like usual. I'm used to a certain type of Braves game. I was taking a nap. I never take a nap. I was so confused. I get a call. I'm out of it. I thought it was like 12 at night. I answer. He's like, get to the Braves stadium. I say, okay.
We're putting you in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I got off the bench.
You're back in cleanup, baby.
Now, you have to understand something about these SunTrust seats, right?
That the Truist Ravens, seats now.
Truist now, that's right. That the station has. That there are six of them, and you've seen them on TV because they're in the very front row right behind the net. And as Tommy said, they're 30 feet from the plate. The plate to the pitcher's mound is 60 feet. So you are closer to the batter than the pitcher is. Yeah. You can literally hear the fastball. You can hear the laces turning on the fastball. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing experience. So when he's going in. Hold on. So he's going in, and he's expecting like the top row of the stadium, and he has the best seat in the house now.
When the Braves are warming up in the batter's the on-deck circle, they're standing literally right in front of you.
Yeah, you could put your finger through the netting and like touch a butt. Yeah. Tommy, yeah. Why wasn't I asked? Touch a butt. Abby's like, I like baseball butts.
Yeah. You're right on the butt too, Abby.
I didn't know you're a baseball fan.
Well, I get there and they're like, get out of your car. And I'm like, what? And they valet my car, which is uncomfortable to watch your car get driven away. And I was like, what is going on?
Before?
You've never valet me. What are you, crazy? I was like, get out of my car. Am I getting robbed? So I go inside and like everyone's getting like, you know, they just push people through and I show them my ticket and they're like, they like bow down, they kiss my hand. And I was like, whoa, what is going on? And I asked someone where to go and they're like, come with me. And we go downstairs. I was like, we ride an elevator downstairs. That's unheard of. So they drop me off at the Delta area. I'm walking around trying to figure out where I am. I ask this guy who's checking tickets, like, is this where I'm supposed to be? He drops everything. He stops whatever he's doing. And he says, come with me, sir. And he's talking to me about all the stuff on the way over there. He walked me like so far away, opened all the doors for me. There was people standing there with like their hands clasped, waiting for directions from me. It felt like I was moving up in the world. I go outside and they're like, yeah, go down these stairs. I just kept getting closer to the fence there. I get down to my seat. I'm like 2 inches away from everything. It was wild. It was unbelievable. There's waitresses coming around asking you what you want. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was sitting there. I was asleep 30 minutes ago, and now I'm sitting here. Like, it was just the most bizarre experience of my whole life.
Not only are there servers coming down and asking you what you want, but you have to go through this big old restaurant, right, and another bar before you get to your seats, and everything in there? Free.
Completely free.
Everything is free. The drinks are free as well. So they are coming down and they are serving you in these seats and everything is free.
At one point, Mikey goes,
you gotta pay for the menu.
Mikey has to go to the restroom and he's gone for a while. And I'm like, where is he at? He didn't realize there were restrooms in the club that we were in.
Wait. So it's like wood paneling, everything's free, waitresses bringing you free alcohol right behind the plate.
He walked out of the Truist Club and walked into the Delta Club to use those bathrooms, and then he got locked in those bathrooms.
I thought I still had to go to the bathroom with the common folk. I didn't know I was that high
went
up
back
on
to the nosebleeds.
I mean, like, you have somebody friends. Who wipes your butt for you. I mean, it's amazing.
I know, I should have known. So I go to the bathroom, I'm waiting in line with all the just scum of the earth.
The general admission people.
And even getting treated this way, I've somehow managed to get myself locked in a bathroom. There's a stall that nobody's using, so I'm like, oh, these idiots, there's a stall right here. I walk in, the handle's broken, so I just take the little lock thing and I push it through. And then I get finished and I realize I can't, the handle doesn't work. So I'm standing there scratching my chin. I'm about to crawl under it. Then I notice an empty beer can there. So I rip it apart. I shove the little, the tin in the door. I wedge it out. Great Escape.
Yeah, it's hard to go to a Braves game after mm-hmm. sitting in those seats. It's like hard to fly coach when you've experienced first class, for and sure. now you're ruined.
I told Tommy, I said, this is probably my last baseball game ever. I'm not coming back.
he gets back from the bathroom, and I said, Mikey, you missed the ice cream.
Also, my girlfriend's mom didn't even know I was there. She took a picture of me on TV, like right behind everybody. And also something else. Leaving.
Yeah.
I'd go, they valet my car back. And I just got in my car. You drive like right out of the stadium. I didn't see an inch of traffic.
Did you?
I couldn't believe it.
Did you tip the valet? I was going to give you
some money. Yeah, no, I gave him a 5. I just didn't.
That's pretty good.
I didn't have any money.
Yeah, he looked at you and he was not expecting you.
Once you thought you was getting robbed, I don't think they expected it to.
Did the Braves win?
No.
Okay. Lost that. That was a weird
Mikey
game.
Won, though.
I won. I got the grand prize.
It was a high-scoring game. It was back and forth all game.
It was close.
Yeah, 16-13, we lost that game.
Yeah.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.